faith compared to God.
Okay.
And then the second half of that is where you see him as almost like Malchim, who's ruling everything.
Okay, so the first half we can describe as the insignificance of man. Whereas in the second half we hear of the significance of man. And the insignificance of man, thereby the significance of God, or the greatness of God, which renders man insignificant. Okay, so the first pasuk in Perek Chet is just an introductory type of pasuk. A lot of times, since these morim were sung, there's musical instruction. So, Lemanatzeach alegitif mizmor tzavid, that deals with the nigun that the Levim would sing this mizmor in. And again, it attributes authorship to David, because there's a machloka whether or not David actually authored all of the mizmorim in Tehillim, or if he just kind of compiled or edited them later. So this mizmor seems to be attributed to David. So the mizmor actually begins in Pasuk Bet. So we see Pasuk Bet exclaiming the greatness of God by saying, Hashem Adonenu ma'adir shimcha b'chalaret, asher tana hodecha al ha'shamayim. So this is a very classic Pasuk in which clearly we can identify it as which Suk? Tila, right? Praiseworthy, right? Praiseful of God, right? So Hashem, our master, ma'adir shimcha, how great is your name, b'chol ha'aretz, over all of the land, asher tanach hodecha al ha'shamayim. Meaning, your greatness is even given in, or is even praised in the shemayim, right? Even the malachim recognize the greatness and praise God. And not only in the celestial spheres, but also he continues in Pasuk Gimel, mipi olalim v'yonkim yisadata os, Laman Sorecha Lahashpit Oyev Umitzkanakim. So not only do the Malachim recognize and exclaim Hashem's praises, but even Mipi Olim V'Yonkim Yasarata Oz. Hashem's praises even established within the mouths of the babies, the nursing children, right? So either can mean even the most elementary type of beings recognize God is so great, even the most elementary beings recognize it, or we can understand it by saying the Olalim and the Yonkim, the praise of Hashem is inherent within man. Even as babies, it's inherent within humanity. Even babies recognize and praise God. Laman Sorerecha Lashbit Oyev Mitznakeim means not only do the celestial spheres, not only to the Malachim, not only to the babies, but certainly because of Hashem's greatness and his ability to get revenge or vindicate against his enemies. Laman Sorecha Lashbit Oyev Mitznakeim, he silences his enemies and avenges them. Right? So even the enemies recognize the greatness of Hashem because Hashem is omnipotent and will punish them. And the last couple of psukim in this chelek we see in pasuk dalet, ki ar'esh shamecha ma'aseh etzba'otecha yarech v'kochavim asher konanta. David says, when I look shamecha at your shamayim, ma'aseh etzba'otecha. Later in the mizmor, it uses ma'aseh yadecha, right? What's ma'aseh etzba'otecha? How do we see ma'aseh etzba'otecha as different? What do you suppose the detail of ma'aseh etzba'otecha as opposed to ma'aseh yadecha as uses elsewhere conveys? Yeah?
Like a more detailed, like, order.
Okay. Okay. The fingers as opposed to the hand certainly reflects the detail, the intricacy, the sophistication of the world, right? And this is very similar to the teleological arguments of the argument of the proof of existence of God, or is also known as the argument by design, right? Which basically says when you look at the sophistication, the intricacies of everything in the world, it testifies that there must be a creator, there must be a designer. This all couldn't have happened in such a sophisticated fashion haphazardly. So David exclaims, Ki aresh shamecha ma'aseh etzba'otecha, when I look at your shamayim, when I look at the delicate, the intricacies of your creation, Yareach v'kochavim asher konanta, the moon, the stars that you have made, I think to myself, Ma enosh ki tizkarenu ven adam ki tifkadenu. Okay, so Pasuk He is an important Pasuk, and we see a lot of different commentaries describe it, or interpret it. Ma enosh ki tizkarenu ven adam. Okay, so first of all, you'll notice clearly it's a tigbolet near defet chasera, the mat chaser ben implied here, enosh ben adam, ki tifkadenu, Right? So what is David exclaiming or questioning? What is the end or kind of the transition of the shift between the first chelek and the second chelek? What is he trying to convey by this pasuk? Ma enosh ki tizkerenu uven adam ki tifkedenu. What do you think?
How did you interpret it when you read it?
Okay.
He's like, stars, they all testify to you. What do you need us
for? So you're saying, what's the significance of man praising you? So certainly, but I think you can generalize it a little bit just from this pasuk.
If
you
look at this world.
And if you look at this pasuk just clearly, where do you see praising you?
Tis kerbanu.
Okay.
Like, what's the significance of man in general?
Okay. Yeah, I think you can say it in broader terms.
But is tis kerbanu man should mention God or God remember man?
I think it's God remembering man.
Okay.
He's asking, Ma enosh ki tizkerenu. David is saying, after looking at Maaseh Tzibotecha, after looking at all of the creation, the intricacies in the Shamayim and in the arts, after seeing the magnitude and the wondrous ways of Hashem, Ma enosh ki tizkerenu. Why do you even bother Hashem with recognizing man? Right? In relation or in contrast to the greatness of God, man is nothing. Why do you even bother tizkerenu? Uven adam ki tifkedenu. So either you can understand it just emphatically, right, like the Radaf, right, it's more for emphasis, or you can understand it more omnisignificantly. Mat enosh ki tizkerenu. What's the significance of man that you remember him? Uven adam ki tifkedenu. Tifkedenu from the word tafkid. So why do you even give man a tafkid in this world? Why do you give man any significance by giving him a role, by giving him a function, by giving him the ability to contribute or to have a presence in this world? Okay, so we see in the first half, certainly reflects the insignificance of man. It talks all about Hashem's greatness, and by contrast, man is nothing. Man is lowly. If you look at the handout that I just gave you, is there any extra?
Yes. If you look at the handout, it's the very famous Rambam in Hilchot Yisod HaTorah in the bottom there.
It kind of explains this idea with regard to Ahavat and Yirat Hashem. So Rambam in Hilchot Yisod HaTorah, Perek Bet Halacha Bet, talks about how does one come to love God. And Rambam, the rationalist that he is, says it's very difficult to, when you're commanded, V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, it's very difficult to obligate one to feel an emotion of love. So how can one rationally come to appreciate, to recognize the greatness of Hashem, to thereby come to love God and to fear God? So how does Rambam explain it? He quotes our pasuk. He quotes this mizmor in his explanation. Who would like to read the third? It's the bottom of the three makorot that I just gave you. Rambam Hilchot Yisod HaTorah. Does anyone want to read it? It's a very famous Rambam. Please. Okay, so he quotes another passage in Tehillim. So what is he saying so far? How does one come to love God? Right. So how does he tell one to come to loving God? Man should yitzponeh. He should contemplate the ma'asaf uvroim uvroav haniflaim hadolim. He should contemplate God's wondrous, God's magnificent creation. V'yiram mehen chokhmato. And when you contemplate these creations, you will see within them the chokhmah of Hashem, shein la'erach v'lokeitz, right, the value of it in without end, miyad hu'ohev m'shabech m'fa'er, and therefore he will come to love and to praise God. V'kishem achashev, continue.
Break Tanash Ashela Afla Omedet the Dalkala Mita with Nay Tamin Deus. Kimosha Marta the Kier Ash
Shemecha.
Ma'aseh.
Okay, so explain that part. So kishemecha shev b'dvarim ha'elo atzman miyad hu nirta l'chora v'fachei b'yoteh shudruya ketana shepela. What does that mean?
So when he sees all this greatness, he'll realize that he's just a small.
Right, when he thinks of it, when he contemplates, when he recognizes all of the greatness of Hashem, miyad hu nirta l'chora, immediately he will kind of recoil, v'fachei, he'll become afraid. V'yodeh shehu b'riya ketana shefela, fela omedet v'dat kalam u'ta l'fnei tamim de'ot. And he'll recognize his nothingness. He'll recognize that he's a b'riya ketana shefela. He'll recognize that he's a tiny, lowly creation, right? Who's nothing. Kalam u'ta l'fnei tamim de'ot, right? Who's nothing with regard, nothing in contrast to God. Kamo she'amar David, and this is what it's meant when David says, Ki aresh shemecha ma'aseh tzvotecha, when I look at your shemaim and the intricacies of the works of your fingers, ma'anosh ki tizkaren, I think to myself, why? What's so significant about man that you can remember him? Okay, so based on that, we see from the first half, we see that it's certainly reflecting the insignificance of God. Along the same lines, I just want to look at the Malbim on this pasuk as well. The Malbim is on the next page, though. So if you turn the page from the pasuk that we just left off on, I want you to just look at the, he talks about the word choice here. So if you look, it's on, if you have the Mikra Gedolot that I have, it's on page Mem Gimel. So it's in the last page of the Tehillim, in the left-hand side of the page. Okay? So again, kind of taking an omni-significant approach, which Malbim often does, he's saying, even though Enosh is synonymous to Ben Adam, it doesn't have the exact same meaning, but something is conveyed. Malbim interpret each of these words slightly nuanced in order to get a better understanding of what David is exclaiming through this kind of rhetorical question. So if you look at the Malbim, does anyone want to read the Malbim explaining the words Enosh and Ben Adam? Go ahead. Okay, so can you explain it? Why does he use the word Enosh? What does the word Enosh connote that Adam does not necessarily connote? Okay, so he's talking about Shem Enosh Mora al Hakatana, Enosh Hakatan Meod Mitzad Koten Gufo V'Chalushato Mitzad Shvelat Mekomo. Right, he's talking about the weakness and the fragility of man. Right, so it's focusing on the shortcomings, the limitations imposed upon him by nature. So because he is this lowly earthling, right, he's restricted, he's confined compared to the celestial, eternal beings. Okay, so that's why he writes the word Enosh as opposed to another word. Okay, so v'zeh magbil neged shtei ta'anosh hezker b'malot helyonim. Right, so it's kind of focusing on the contrast between lowly man and the high celestial beings, and so that difference is going to become important because man is compared to them in the second half. So that's how he interprets that Enosh, talking about the chalushah, talking about the weakness, the limitations of man. Ben Adam. Why does he use the word Ben Adam again? Why not just Adam? Or why not a notion again? Okay, so how does he understand Ben Adam? Why is it the son of mortal man? He again juxtaposes it with the celestial spheres, the heavenly bodies. Right, so he's talking about Ben Adam, the son of mortal man, right? Because the heavenly bodies can endure eternally. Mankind, however, can only assure its continued existence through reproduction. So it says Ben Adam, the son of man, it's only through reproduction that the species can endure. But each individual is mortal, unlike the celestial spheres, which are eternal. Okay? So we see here from this first half of the Mizmor, the insignificance of man. Man is the lowliest of creatures as opposed to Matzetz Botecha, as opposed to Kir Esh Shemecha, as opposed to Hashem Shemayim, and the celestial spheres Hashem has created on the higher level. Okay, so then, however, we see a dichotomy. Then we see a shift in the next pasuk to the end of the Mizmor, where even though man, David, was considering humanity very lowly in the first half, it takes a sharp turn, and man is considered the highest form of creation in the second half of the Mizmor. So if you look at, starting in Pasuk Vav, V'tachasrehu, ma'at me'elohim, v'kavod v'hadar ta'atrehu. How do you understand this Pasuk? First of all, Elohim, even though obviously it usually means God, here it has a different explanation. It's an equivocal term, so there's more than one meaning. And sometimes in Hanach, Elohim means judges, sometimes it means angels, sometimes it means God. There's a whole host of different definitions based on the context. Here, if you look at Rashi, Elohim, Lashon, Malachim. So here it's talking about Malachim, which obviously is can fit into the context. So V'tachasrehu ma'at me'elohim, v'kavod v'hadar ta'atrehu. How do you understand this pasuk?
I think they have like almost godlike powers.
Okay, man is the highest form of creation. He's just v'tachasrehu, just a little bit short, a little bit is missing me'elohim from being having like the angel-like status. Yeah.
Why do you say it has to be angels rather than God?
I mean, Rashi says that it's the angels rather than God. You could understand it as God, meaning he's just a little bit lower than God, which is, you know, perhaps
like
around
God.
the angels. But also because ta'atrehu, the kavod habadar ta'atrehu, some of Farshim explain that man is crowned on the land, and the angels are crowned in the Shemaim. Right,
then they'd be equal.
With the ruler. Well, no, because man can't achieve the ruling in the Shemaim. So kir esh shemech, I'm sorry, v'tachasrei me'at me'elohim. If you look at Mitzvot David also, it interprets it as...
I'm just... I just don't understand why they feel compelled to do that.
They don't explain necessarily why they feel compelled to do it. You're right that it could... It has the same effect, even if you do understand it as Hashem. But it kind of fits because the Malachim are, you know, ruling or... you know, dominant in the Shemaim, and man is dominant on earth, it kind of sets up a good equation. But you could understand it as Hashem, I would assume, as well. So if you look at Mitzvot David and Pasuk Chai V'tachasrehu, Al kol zeh b'shkachatcha chazarto rak ma'at mehamalachim v'davar ha'chochma v'hade'a v'ateret b'kavod v'hadar ki hi metale al kol chai b'chush hadibor. Right, so it's saying that man has the ability, because of man's rational ability to communicate, as opposed to the other lower forms of creation, Hashem recognizes man, and Hashem has tachacha over the individual human being, just even slightly lower than the malachim, but certainly more, because of man's rational ability and his ability to communicate, so Hashem gives man much more providence than he gives to any of the lower forms of being. And that's why we see in the next Pasuk Zayin, Timshileu b'maasei yadecha kol shatat tachat raglav, sona velafim kulam v'gam b'motzadai sipor shamay mizgei hayam over achot yamim. So that's why we see, because of man's status, only slightly lower than the malachim, and because he has the ability, v'kavod v'hadar ta'atrehu, that Hashem has crowned him with kavod and hadar, because Hashem has given man the ability to rule over the lower forms, the lower species, the lower forms of creation. Timshilehu b'maaseh yadecha, this crown is actualized through man's ruling b'maaseh yadecha, again, similar to maaseh tzbo'otecha. So man rules over the works of your hands, the works of Hashem's creations. Call everything shatat tachat raglav, everything you, Hashem, have put at man's disposal, everything you have put under man's feet. So what is this everything? It's specified in the next two psukim, in pasuk chet, tzone, va'alafim, kulam, v'gam b'hamot sadai. So Hashem puts all of the lower forms of creation, all of the animal species, for man's use, for man's disposal. And not only that, but man has the ability to dominate tzipor shamayim utgeheyam over achot yamim. Not only does man have the ability to dominate that on land by using the animals and using the property, but also tzipor shamayim utgeheyam. Also, man has the ability to conquer and dominate the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea over achot yamim, who that passed over the achot yamim, the sea. So man has the ability to dominate the air, the sky, the sea, and the land. So we see here in the second half of the Mizmor, we see the dominance of man, the significance of man, which is a sharp contradiction from what we have seen in Chelek Aleph. But then we see in the last pasuk, in the Maskana, the concluding pasuk, Hashem Adonenu Ma'adir Shimcha B'chal Ha'aretz. Hashem, our Master, how great is your name over all the land. So how do we now understand this pasuk? We understood how we understood it back in the first chelek when it was all talking about the significance of man. And therefore, this pasuk was extremely appropriate to be in the first chelek. But how do we understand the repetition of this pasuk in pasuk yud, the repetition of pasuk bet in pasuk yud within the chelek bet, within the second half, which is all about the significance of man, without much mention of anything about God? So how do we understand this last pasuk as appropriate in the second half and kind of bringing the whole mizmor, reconciling the whole mizmor together? What do you think? Yeah.
I think I've learned this before, I don't remember where.
Okay.
It's even more reason to give Shabbat Hashem if man had more power. Because any malchus avodah can rule by an iron fist and just totally dominate everything. But the more freedom anyone in power gives to the people below him, the more. But yet he retains his power. That's even more praiseworthy. It shows his power even more. So the fact that we have the chiyach lachshid, or all these other ways in which we dominate lower species, that just attests to
that greatness. Okay, so I think that's certainly true. So the second half of the Mizmor, when it's talking about the greatness of God, and we're going to discuss this when we look at the philosophical notion as well, man can get overly carried away or preoccupied with his ability to dominate in the world, with his ability to conquer, with his ability to timshilu b'masei yadecha kol shatat tachat raglav. Man has to recognize where he received that ability from. And Hashem Adonenu Ma'adir Shimcha B'chal Haaretz, the repetition of this pasuk, which was from the first chelek, which talked about the significance of God, the repetition of this at the end, after it talks about the dominance of man, makes man realize that man's ability to rule in this world and to conquer everything around him is due to Hashem giving man that free will, is due to Hashem giving man that ability, putting everything at his disposal for his use. So and we'll see this in Rav Soloveitchik in The Lowly Man of Faith. It's very easy once man begins to dominate, once man begins to conquer, to get carried away with such power. But the recognition from the last pasuk is that a man has to keep in mind that he's only being given this ability through God's graces, and ultimately it's not about his own ego, but rather he has to reflect upon the fact that he only has this ability due to God's creating him in such a way. So if you look at the other two, makoros on the page that I gave you, one is from Gemar Shabbos, and one is from the Midrash Bereishit Rabbah. Both of these relate to the second half of the Mizmor. What's so significant, or both of them relate to the Ma'anosh Kitzis Karenu, which then becomes significant in the second half of the Mizmor. So what's the significance of man that God gives him this ability to Timshilu B'masei Adecha Kol Shatat Tachat Raglav? So if you look at, do you want to prepare them on your own, or do you want to just read them together? You want to prepare them? Okay. So just go through them on your own for 5 minutes now, and then we'll look at them as they relate to the both Cholakim of the Mizmor.
Right.
like, they say, why do why Hashem to know with Chayav Shemayim, keep your whole name to Torah Shemayim. Moshe Kino, this story. Moshe Kino, Hashem says, answer them. What has he answered? He says, this, to that, to that. So the answer, Hodu will let Hashem Shemayim. Also, Hodu, both. Hodu, right, they admit to him, they don't say anymore. Are they saying, oh, we're more, it's Moshe's claim? Meaning Moshe's claim is, you have no Torah. Or are they just saying, oh, we don't do it? Okay. Right. Or are they saying, oh, this is like, he deserves it? Or, like, is it
Yeah, but then if it splits into two, if you're stepping it, if you're, I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
We're so great that God, you know, really wants to grow this world. No, I think both, they're both good for me. I'm saying in terms of how to read it in the Tehillah. Like, if you read this idea back into the Tehillah. God is so great that He is what He wants to do, and He wants to make man. Because, like, man more of His power.
Okay, can we look at it together?
Mm-hmm.
Ready? Okay.
Okay, so
let's look at Masechet Shabbos first. Who can read and explain how the psukim from our mizmor are being used in this context? Anyone? Yeah, go
ahead. Different segments of the pasuk are introduced within a dialogue that the malachim are having with Hashem, and then Hashem asks Moshe to respond. So in the beginning, we have the beginning of our parak, Ma'anu Shkitzis Kerenu, as an argument that the malachim make to Hashem as to why should mankind deserve something as great as the Torah. And then after Moshe responds to this statement, the malachim again respond at the end of our segment saying Hashem is amenu ma'adir shimcha, that like it was a good decision to give it to man.
Okay, what was the rationale for that decision?
That the Torah is designed for mankind because it applies to them.
Okay. And he gives specific examples. Okay, can you just read through it very quickly? Just for anyone that didn't totally get it on their own.
Ve'amar b'Yoshua ben Levi, b'sha'a she'ala Moshe amarom, amru malachai ha'shar, b'tnei ha'kadosh baruch hu, ribono shel olam, ma li yilod isha b'inyinu, amar lahen l'kabel Torah ba. Amru l'fanav, chamuda gnuza, she'gnuza l'chat, sh'amarot b'shivim, ve'arba'a dorot, kodim sh'nivra ha'olam, atada v'kish l'chala v'asar v'gan.
Okay, so just so far, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, this is taking place at the time that Moshe went up to the Shemayim. The Malachim said to Hashem, why is Basar V'dam among us? And Hashem responds, L'kabel Torah ba. He came to get the Torah. Obviously, they're speaking by Moshe. And so they said, why should Chamdan Gnuzas, should such a treasure, right, like the Torah, such an ancient treasure, are you sure you really want to give it to Basar V'dam? Ma'anosh ki tizkerinu. What's so significant about man that you remember him? Right. So why would you give such a precious gift to Basar V'dam? So Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, Hechzir lehem tshuva. Hashem tells Moshe, right, also emphasizing the significance of man, to respond to the Malachi Asharet. Go ahead.
Amar
lefanav,
Ribono shel Olam, Yitireh ani shama Yisuf mi behevel shel v'fiyah. Amar lo, Achot v'kisei kodi, v'chazor lehem. Shuv maktiva loy hilchal kimachirim. Benavoyim atem shirin shiotim avodazara. Shuv maktiva zuchor yom ha-shabbat l'kacho. Klum atem usim melacha shetem tuchim shvut. Shuv maktiva lo tisa. Masa'a umetani yish b'nechem. Shuv maktiva kaved et avicha v'et imecha. Ava imi yish lachem. Shuv maktiva lo tirtach v'lo tinach v'lo tibno. Kina yish b'nechem, yitzah hara yish b'nechem. Niyad vodu lo l'chosh barachu sh'ne'emar. Hashem Adonai Nimad Yushim Fat.
Okay, so it seems that so Moshe says, look in the Torah, right? So you have the first of the Sarah Dibra, Nochesha Malakha Shirositicha Mat Mitzrayim. He says to them, the Mitzrayim, you're out of tented. You, Malachim, leave Mitzrayim. The Paro Hishtab, were you Avadim for Paro? And then he says, look what else is in the Torah. Kibbet Avicha Vetimecha. He says, do you have an Av and Aim? And then he says, look at the Psukim, look at the Dibra, like Lo Tirtach, Lo Tinaf, Lo Tignol, right? Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal. Kina yesh benechem, Yitzahara yesh benechem. Do you have jealousy? Do you have a Yitzahara? So he says the Torah is not applicable, it's not appropriate for the Malachim. Miya, with this explanation, Hodulo Kadosh Baruch Hu Shenemar, Hashem Adonai Ma'atir Shemcha B'chal Aretz. Right, so they recognize that the Torah is appropriate for Bnei Adam, and they praised Hashem for giving such a precious gift to Basar V'dam.
I wasn't sure if were they saying that they believe that the Torah is suited for man based on what Moshe was saying, or were they just impressed by his answer and saying, oh, men are, like, we underestimated man, and therefore they do deserve it.
Right. I think you can interpret in either way. Some of the examples that they're using, kinayish benechem, right? So is that they're saying man has some of these lowlier, you know?
Right. No, I understand.
Right. So I don't know that. So they are impressed with man or with Moshe, perhaps that he has the ability.
Meaning,
because
it's hudul la kadosh baruch. They're not hudul la Moshe.
Right.
For his argument.
Right. But maybe the Torah is appropriate for man because man needs that set of guidelines in order to live his life, and so therefore there was greater chachma of Hashem for creating, for writing the Torah for man's sake than, I guess, the Malachi Sharet anticipated or recognized initially. Okay, and the next one is from Bereshit Rabbah, also Midrash, that deals with our psukim again, kind of giving a bit more perspective as to what the significance of man is and why God would give man the ability to rule over all the lower forms of creation. He gives it, the Midrash gives a mashal in order to explain the significance or why man is remembered by God. Does anyone want to explain that mashal? Second one, did anyone get to it? Again, the Malachim are asking Hashem what the significance of man is. Why did man create? Why was man created with so much forethought, with so much knowledge and anticipation? Yeah.
It seems like it's kind of the Ein Melech Lo Am concept. Where it's all very nice that God created the world and all the things that are in it, but on some level, there's no real purpose to all that without man.
Okay, so explain the Malachim's question, and then explain the mashal that is used to explain it to them.
Can't you just
explain the mashal? Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay. Rav Hunam Rabbi Ivo Amar B'dat Boro Shebarat Tarchei Mezorotav Ve'acharkach Bira'o Amru Malachi Asheri Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribon Ha'olam Ma'enosh Ki Tizkerenu Uven Adam Ki Tifkidenu. Hada akta lehen nevaria. So again, like you said, the Malachim are asking God why he created all of this for man.
Bedabar, right? Why was man created with such knowledge? Barasar chemezonav, right? Think about the progression of creation in the 6 days of creation, right? Man was the final creation on the sixth day. All of his needs were created prior to him. And for his use, right? So the plant life was created, and then the animal life was created, and finally man was created, and man therefore had dominion over those lower forms of creation and had them at his disposal for his food, for his use, right? Shebarasar chemezunotav, achar kach baro. So then the Malachi Asheret ask Hashem, why was man created with such forethought, right? Why do you remember man? Why is man so significant? Why do you give him such a tafkid? Who akta lehem mavre, right? Why did you create this burden? Amar lahan, lahon.
Im kin tonel alafim kulan v'gomer lanu nivru'u. Zibar shemayim d'gei hayam nivru'u. So So we ask them, for what was the world created?
Right. What were all of these lower forms of creation, like Tzona v'Lafim, right, from the second half of the Mizmor, right? Why were they created? Tzipor Shemayim v'Gayayam. Why were they created if not for man's use? And so he gives the mashal.
Mashal melech shayalo migdal male kol tu ve'eim orchin mahana avish lemelech shemlo'o.
So what pleasure does a king get from a palace that's empty of people?
Right, melokol tov, right, a palace that's full of all these goods. But in lochim, but they don't have any guests. Mahanayish the melech shemalo, right? What hana does the melech have that filled his palace all up with all of these great things with nobody to share them with? Yumulaf enough.
Ribono shel olam, Hashem adonino ma'adir shemcha l'chol ha'aretz. Avid ma'adahan
yecha. Okay, so seemingly the melechei asherit are satisfied. Hashem, our God, how great is your name in all of the lands. You created man with such forethought because all of these lower forms of creation that you created are for man's use, because what purpose would there be for all of these creations? What hana would you get if you didn't create man to utilize and to enjoy and to maximize the use of them? Okay, so we see from both the Gemara and Shabbos and also the Bereishit Rava why man is remembered, why man is considered, why man is given a tafkid by Hashem. And thus we understand the second half of the Mizmor, where it's talking about the significance of God, but bearing in mind the final pasuk that all of this is a result of Hashem Adonino Ma'adir Shemcha B'chol Ha'aretz. Hashem has created man for this purpose, but man needs to recognize his purpose and also recognize his dependence upon God in order to actualize such a purpose. Okay, the last thing that I would like to do, the last two things that I'd like to do, I want to do the philosophy on this Mizmor, and then I want to just do a very brief conclusion. It's 4 now. I know we've been sitting here for a while. Do you want a short break now, or would you like to just do the philosophy and perhaps end a bit early? Your call, I'm not offended either way. Would you like a short break now? Has it been a long time? No? No pressure, whatever you need.
Yeah, can I
have
a short break?
Have a short break. Okay, let's take a 5-minute break, get up, do whatever you need. Let's reconvene in 5 minutes, we'll do the philosophy.
Yeah,
for the
sign.
No,
you are.
We don't definitely do that. We have
the
Yeah.
We're
ready.
Oh, you're
also driving
that?
Yeah.
Oh,
great, okay. So, whoever uses
the person. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Well,
they're all for
things. Do you get carpool during peak hours?
Yeah, definitely.
Why?
You have to sign up for it.
No, I know.
But
there's no easy.
It just isn't always worth it to wait online for
right,
a
right.
Cash thing.
Right. No, but there's no easy pass discount during peak hours. It's $8. You know.
With a.
No, not carpool. I'm just saying regular.
Right.
Right. So I didn't know if the carpool.
Yeah, the carpool is $2 all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is all the time?
Yeah.
It's almost worth it. It's a good start.
I'm going to camp this way from him. The rest of his
life.
Girls, my philosophy students on this podium. You promote the program. And she's like, we had, and they have a lot of interesting discussions about like who you did in class.
I know someone who was working on
discussions for
a
while. I'm glad they actually
interesting. I planned the curriculum with another teacher because we there are four philosophy classes. So I'm teaching two. So, and we had like a department head who we could ask like advice from, but we basically had to write about the other classes. Like, we did our own curriculum, we planned it. And if we had questions or wanted to need help, we would like ask her for advice. But we didn't really have to cover. We weren't working for articles or anything.
And they didn't ask questions.
Yeah, so it was some of the things we were and did question afterwards. So now they're preparing for next year. And I would, it's just annoying because there's some things that like we did that like I would never take out, even though like some people think we should. Like questioning God and like things like that, which I think is really important here in the classroom. With like our front teacher, etc.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But
which I think is
worse.
I think it's really important. I think some girls had issues with that. So they're thinking about next year taming that down a little bit. But I'd be really upset.
Hello,
if
what's
it
saying?
If
the same teacher to help work that worked on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also,
what's
and she agrees with me.
What?
Why is Lotus on that much time and why is that order?
Interesting. Lotus has less time because when else do you swear?
I know. And she wants to do it.
What's
the
last time? I'm not sure. Not like a wrong shwa, but a shwa chap.
I want to ask you
no,
some more tips about the
rest of
the question.
Sure.
I couldn't find the aggression, the share.
They're a little bit,
you know,
like,
you
tell
me
the moment,
or
you
can have a screen, because I've got.
Right.
If
they're not all right up. They're not all right
up.
I'm
not
sure.
I'm not sure.
Well, it's different, meaning if you were to
be
heading
that,
no.
So
additionally,
in
the answer, you could also swap here. So you have
no forum to ask it.
And
it's like butting in the middle of our class because
doctors are kind of
the only option we had today. So of course it was
I just wanted to tell you, I'm going to leave around.
But like, so you have to go
trying
to be rude.
Set up a line of things. Right. Well, right, meaning there's no, like,
I think it's
measured.
I really
there aren't too many other things
freezing
it out.
Okay.
You can the out of order was interesting. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, I did.
So
I did.
I
didn't
know that. Like, I mean,
I don't know what, like,
no one's doing that. I mean, not no one. I didn't see anyone.
Thank you.
Marge had a really long time that I didn't read.
Yeah,
but
very well.
And I was really
also, this is before
yeah.
My
fifth
party.
You
might not have been
that
order.
No, a lot more similar. Yeah, we were having a conversation also. It was by word for word.
Hmm?
You know what?
Here,
what?
Word.
No rest, but.
Okay.
I actually do. They have this. I ran this program. It's like a workshop.
Is that interesting? Just go to everyone and say yes or no.
Starting out running twice a week instead of
that.
Okay, so let's just do the philosophical component on Mizmarchet, and then we'll just conclude all four Mizmorim together. All right, so the two halves of the Mizmor that we kind of reconciled. Can be kind of associated with the two stories of creation that Rosa Levesic describes as kind of depicting two aspects of man. So if you look in the repetition of the creation story, obviously it's not a clear repetition, the two seemingly creation stories in the first couple of parakim in Bereshit, we see that man is given two very distinct commands. So if you look at the beginning of, or the end rather, Perek Aleph of Bereshit, the psukim that you have, V'yomer Elohim, Tzotzei ha'aretz nefesh chayel mina, בהמה ורמס וחייתו ארץ למינה ויחן, ויעש אלוהים חיית הארץ למינה, ואת בהמה למינה, ואת כל רמס על האדמה למיניהו, ויהיה אלוהים כי טוב, ויאמר אלוהים נעשה אדם בצלמנו, כדמותנו, וירדו פסגת הים ועוף השמיים ובהמה וכל הארץ ובכל רמס הרומס על הארץ. ויברא אלוהים את האדם בצלמו, בצלם אלוהים ברא אותו, זכר נקבה ברא אותם. ויברך אותם אלוהים, ויאמר להם אלוהים, פרו ורבו ומלאו את הארץ וכבשוה, ורדו בצגת הים, בעוף השמיים, ובכל חיית הרומס על הארץ. So this is taking from Bereshit, Perek Aleph, from the sixth day of creation. First, all of the animals were created in the world, and after that, in Pasuk Kavav, it says, let us make man betzalmenu, in our image, and v'yordu bizgat hayam v'op hashamayim, he will rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, v'vema v'chal ha'aretz, and all of the animals. So Hashem created man in Pasuk Kavzayin, betzalmo, in his image, betzalm Elohim barato, in the image of God he was created. There's a whole bunch of different interpretations as to what does that mean. Rambam interprets it in God's intellectual image, thereby man has the rational powers. That's not necessarily true of the lower forms of creation. And then Hashem in Pasuk Kavchet gives man the command, Paru Arbu Malu Ataris Vikiv Shuha. He should be fruitful and multiply, fill the land and conquer it, dominate it. Or Zubiz Gatayam Vov Shaman Vachal Chaya Haromeset Al Aretz. And control all of the lower forms of species. So this man, and we're going to see, Rav Soloveitchik describes him as Adam 1, is the dominant man, is an aggressive, is a bold man, who was given the command, who was sanctioned by God, to control, to dominate, to be productive in the physical world. However, in the next parak, we see a different command given to man, and a very different depiction of man altogether. If you look in Pasuk Dalet, Ele todod Hashemayim ve'aretz b'bar'am b'yom asot Hashem Elohim eretz v'shamayim. וכל שיח השדה טרם יהיה בארץ, וכל יסב השדה טרם יצמח, כי לא ימטר השם אלוהים על הארץ והאדם עין לעבוד את האדמה, ועד יעלה מן הארץ וישקע את כל פני האדמה, ויצר השם אלוהים את האדם עפר מן האדמה, ויפח באפיו נשמת חיים, והיא באדם לנפש חיה, ויצא השם אלוהים גן בעצם מקדם, שם שם את האדם אשר יצר, ויצמח השם אלוהים מן האדמה, כל עץ נחמד למראה, וטוב למאכל, בעץ הגן, בתוך הגן, בעץ הדעת, טוב ורע, ויקח השם אלוהים את האדם וינחיל בגן עדן לעבדה ולשמרה. So if you look at Pasuk Zion, it says that Hashem formed man afar min ha'adama. He formed man out of the dust of the land, of the earth. ויפח באפיו נשמת חיים, he blew into his nostrils the life force. And then it says, in the last Pasuk we have there, in Pasuk Tedvav, Hashem took man, and he put him in Gan Eden, and he gave him the command, he put him there for the purpose, la'avda u'lishamra, to serve him, right? And if you look in the third source, in Radak, Perek Bet, Pasuk Tevav, Radak interprets la'avda u'lishamra, v'rabotein ha'sachonu l'vachar k'rashu v'mashal zeh v'amru, la'avda zeh talmud v'lishamra elu mitzvot. So Radak interprets la'avda u'lishamra, the command that Hashem gave to the second Adam, or the Adam that's described in the second creation story, La'avda l'shamra, he's given the commands to learn Torah and to keep mitzvot, according to Razak at least. So Rav Soloveitchik says that these are not two different creation stories, as some biblical critics might suggest, but rather it's one creation story, but depicting two aspects of man. And he delineates the characteristics of the Adam from the first pair and distinguishes it from the characteristics of the Adam from the second pair. So let's look at his description of Adam 1 and Adam 2. He says in source 4, there's no doubt that the term image of God, Tzelem Elokim, in the first account, refers to man's inner charismatic endowment as a creative being. Man's likeness to God expresses itself in man's striving and ability to become a creator. Adam 1, who was fashioned in the image of God, was blessed with great drive for creative activity and immeasurable resources for the realization of this goal, the most outstanding of which is the intelligence, the human mind, capable of confronting the outside world and inquiring into its complex workings, right? As I said, Rambam interprets Tzelem Elokim, when man was created in God's image. That doesn't mean that man was created in God's physical image, because we know that God is not physical, he's incorporeal, but rather, the distinguishing factor about man is man's rationality. And therefore, when we say that we were created in God's image, that's God's intellectual image. In spite of the boundless divine generosity providing man with many intellectual capacities and interpretive perspectives in his approach to reality, God, in imparting the blessing to Adam the first and giving him the mandate to subdue nature, directed Adam's attention to the functional and practical aspects of his intellect through which man is able to gain control of nature. Adam the first is interested in just a single aspect of reality and asks one question only: how does the cosmos function? He is not fascinated by the question, why does the cosmos function at all? Adam the first is overwhelmed by one quest, namely to harness and dominate the elemental natural forces and to put them at his disposal. This practical interest arouses his will to learn the secrets of nature. He's completely utilitarian as far as motivation, teleology, design, and methodology are concerned. So Adam the first is bold, he's creative, he is very physical. He's not concerned with the metaphysical, but rather he wants to know pragmatically, how does this work so I can dominate it, so I can conquer it, so I can utilize it and put it at my disposal. He doesn't care about the qualitative aspects of it. He wants to understand the quantitative so that he can dominate it. We see, by contrast, that Adam 2, the second Adam that's described from the second paragraph of Bereshit's description of creation, is a very different Adam. As opposed to being bold and creative and aggressive like Adam 1, Adam 2 is described by the opposite characteristics. He's submissive. He retreats. He is humble. So look in Adam 2. While the cosmos provokes Adam the first to quest for power and control, thus making him ask the functional how question, Adam the second responds to the call of the cosmos by engaging in a different kind of cognitive gesture. He does not ask a single functional question like Adam 1. While Adam 1 is dynamic and creative, Adam 2 is receptive and beholds the world in its original dimensions. He looks for the image of God not in the mathematical quantitative formula or in the natural relational law, but in every beam of light, in every bud and blossom, in the morning breeze, in the stillness of the starlit evening. In a word, Adam the second explores not the scientific abstract universe, but the irresistibly fascinating qualitative world where he establishes an intimate relation with God. So Adam the two looks for the metaphysical. He tries to understand the beauty within. He tries to understand the divinity within. He's not concerned with the quantitative. He's not concerned with the functional. He's not concerned with dominating, but rather he is introspective. Rather he is submissive, and rather he looks for the spirituality beneath. So after Rav Soloveitchik delineates between Adam the first and Adam the second, the characteristics of each, he derives each of these characteristics from the two communities from which they've come. And he describes them each, Adam 1's community, as the natural or the majestic community, and Adam the second's community as the covenantal faith community. So let's have a look at each of these. The community of which Adam the first, majestic man, is a member is a natural one, a product of the creative social gesture in which Adam engages whenever he thinks that collective living and acting will promote his interests. Whenever Adam 1 wants to work, to produce, and to succeed in his undertakings, he must unite with others. Distribution of labor, the coordinated efforts of the many, raise man above the primitive level of a natural existence and grant him limited dominion over his environment. What we call the civilization is the sum total of a community effort through the millennia. Thus, the natural community fashioned by Adam 1 is a work community committed to the successful production, distribution, and consumption of goods, material, as well as cultural. The covenantal faith community of Adam II, in contradistinction to the natural work community, interprets the divine pronouncement, "It is not good for man to be alone," not in utilitarian, but in ontological terms. It's not good for man to be lonely. The natural community of Adam 1 is a community of interests forged by the indomitable desire for success and triumph, and consisting at all times of two personae, the I and the thou, who collaborate in order to further their interests. The covenantal faith community of Adam II is a community of commitments, born in distress and defeat, and comprises three participants, I, thou, and he. The he in whom all being is rooted, and in whom everything finds its rehabilitation and consequently redemption. Adam 1 met the female all by himself, while Adam 2 was introduced to Eve by God, who summoned Adam to join Eve in an existential community molded by sacrificial action and suffering, and who himself becomes a partner in this community. God is never outside the covenantal community. He joins man and shares in his covenantal existence. So Adam 1, the aggressive, bold, dominant physical man, is a product of the natural work community, and he collaborates with others to further their interests, right? Because two is better than one. When I collaborate with somebody else, I can produce more. It's nothing to do with the existential loneliness that's felt by Adam too. Adam too collaborates with others because he feels that I am existentially lonely in my relationship with God. I want to join with others who are also existentially lonely in the covenantal faith community. So whereas in the natural work community, we only have the I and the thou, right? I and somebody else work together to produce more. In the covenantal faith community, we have the I, the thou, and the God, because we're bounded in our covenants to God, and we, even though we can't necessarily identify with each other's existential loneliness with regard to each of our respective relationships with God, we can commiserate, or we can feel the unity of each of us struggling in our respective existential relationships. So now let's look at Adam 1 and 2 together, because even though thus far he's described them as very separate entities, he then explains how both of them really are just two oscillating aspects of the one individual. Within each of us, we have an Adam 1 side and an Adam 2 side, and the halacha is what enables us to fuse both sides or to oscillate between these two diverse poles. So if you look in the next paragraph, he says, we've been describing both Adams typologically, as though they were irreconcilable, separate persons with disparate temperaments and orientations. Actually, there's only one Adam with oscillating tendencies. The man of faith in actuality moves regularly between the faith community and the work community. On the one hand, the Bible commands man, and thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, a performance of which only covenantal man is capable, since he alone possesses the talent for complete concentration upon and immersion in the focus without being distracted by peripheral interests, anxieties, and problems. On the other hand, the same Bible which just enjoined man to withdraw from the periphery to the center commands him to return to the majestic community which, preoccupied with peripheral interests, anxieties, and problems, builds, plants, harvests, regulates rivers, heals the sick, participates in state affairs, is imaginative in dreaming, bold in planning, daring in undertaking, and is out to conquer the world. With what simplicity, not paying the least attention to the staggering dialectic implied in such an approach? The Bible speaks of an existence this worldly centered, when thou builds a new home, when thou cuts down a harvest, when thou comes into the neighbor's vineyard, yet theo-oriented and unqualifiedly committed to an eternal purpose, right? So what he's saying thus far is that we have mitzvot in the Torah that are focused more on the covenantal faith community, that are the focus more of Adam 2. And we also have mitzvot in the Torah, like building a makkah on the roof, that are very much focused on the physical world, very much focused on our conquering of our physicality. So if one would inquire of me about the teleology of the halacha, I would tell him the teleology is the purpose of the halacha. I would tell him that it manifests itself exactly in the paradoxical yet magnificent dialectic, again, dialectic means to go between two poles, which underlies the halachic gesture. When man gives himself to the covenantal community, the halacha reminds him that he is also wanted and needed in another community, the cosmic majestic. And when it comes across man while he is involved in the creative enterprise of the majestic community, it does not let him forget that he is a covenantal being who will never find self-fulfillment outside of the covenant, and that awaits his return to the covenantal community. I would also add, in reply to such a question, that many a time I have the distinct impression, as if the halacha considered the steady oscillating of the man of faith between majesty and covenant, not as a dialectical, but rather as a complementary movement. The halacha believes that there is only one world, not divisible into secular and hallowed sectors. Accordingly, the task of covenantal man is to be engaged, not in dialectical surging forward and retreating, but in uniting the two communities into one community, where man is both the creative free agent and the obedient servant of God. There is a continuous alternation between the cosmic and the covenantal, both areas being willed and sanctioned by God, who wants man to live creatively in this world, even as he devoutly participates in the faith community. Adam 1 and Adam 2 are truly one person, and every one of us there abides the boldly creative and the devoutly submissive. Both tendencies are sanctioned by God. Rejection of either aspect of humanity is tantamount to rejection of the divine plan of creation. So because God gave to man the commands of Peruah v'Irvuah Maluah Taaretz v'Kivshuah, dominate, be physical in this world, and he also gave the command to Adam in the second parak of Bereishit, La'avdal l'shamayim, puts him in Gan Eden, to be submissive, to be a servant of Hashem, we see that both of these aspects of man are sanctioned by God. Both of these aspects of man are mandated and commanded by God. And as a result, the halacha guides us to oscillate between these two poles. Halacha sometimes demands that we participate in the covenantal faith community, but at the same time, we also have to be doing mitzvot that are involved more in the majestic work community. And so once we are focused on one community, halacha demands that we go back and focus on the other community, thus constantly oscillating between the two, thereby fulfilling both commands, even though they seem to be in opposition to each other. So if you relate this back to Mizmor Chet, we see when it talks about the insignificance of man or the wondrous loftiness of God, that's Adam 2. Adam 2 looking for the qualitative. Adam 2 trying to seek God in everything. Adam 2 recognizing the greatness of Hashem in all of his works. The submissive man that's retreating in humility in recognition of the greatness of Hashem. But then we see in the second half of the parak, when it talks about the significance of man, when it talks about man's dominance in the world, we see that's very much reflective of Adam 1. Because Adam 1 is told to Vikivshuha, he's given the command to conquer the world, to dominate, to utilize all of the lower forms of species that Hashem created and put at man's disposal. So both of these Adams are commanded and are sanctioned by God. And therefore, if man were to only focus on one as opposed to the other, man would not be fulfilling the commands given to Adam HaRishon. And that's why, as a result, the concluding pasuk, Hashem Adoninu Ma'adir Shimcha B'chal Aretz, we see that Hashem has made man in such a way. It reflects Hashem's greatness, and therefore man has to give proper attention to both Adam 1 and Adam 2. Later in this article, I didn't copy it for you, but later in the article, Russell Levitchik wrote this in 1956, he was saying that man in his day was focusing too much on his Adam 1 persona and neglecting his Adam 2 persona. So the Lonely Man of Faith is a call to make man recognize that both the Adam 1 and the Adam 2 characteristics of man are both needed and are both mandated by God, and to be preoccupied with one to the exclusion of the other does not fulfill the divine will. Later in two different articles, this duality that we see from Perek Chet is described from a bit of a different perspective in a bit of a different context. So I just kind of wanted to generalize it a bit more in two other articles that Rav Soloveitchik wrote, referring to the same sort of dichotomy, but in a different context. If you look in number 5, Family Redeemed, he describes the same duality with regard to marriage. So he says here are two theories of marriage. There are two basic theories about the institution of marriage. One theory developed an outer-directed axiology, that is, a value system that finds the meaning of matrimony outside of the matrimonial union. The other theory developed an inner-directed matrimonial value system, discovering meaning within. According to proponents of the outer-directed value system, marriage is committed to promoting the welfare of the group. The latter's survival is the main goal pursued by the two individuals united in marriage. What is significant about this theory is that the collective is sovereign over the individual, and that marriage actually places the two individuals at the service of society. The theory of the inner-directed axiology shifts the center of gravity from without to within the matrimonial union. Accordingly, the main value of marriage is to be found not in its collective utility, but in its creating a personal experience that enriches and enhances the lives of two individuals who are drawn to each other. Thus, matrimonial individualism substitutes for matrimonial collectivism, and romanticism for utilitarianism. The Bible also operates with both motifs. In the first account of the creation of man, the sexual union of man and male and female, zachar and nekeva, serves only one task, procreation. Man and women are told, peru urvu, be fruitful and multiply. However, in the second account of creation, we encounter a completely different description of causes. The meeting of Adam and Eve is precipitated by the feeling of existential loneliness and spiritual incompleteness. And God said, it's not good that man be alone, I shall make him a helpmate opposite him. We no longer deal with mechanical motives, but with the spiritual purposiveness. Man and woman replace male and female, and their meeting presses for a more exalted togetherness experience, one whose aim is not only the survival of the race, but also the formation and extension of a small, modest community. So in The Lonely Man of Faith, we see the duality within the individual. In Family Redeemed, we see the duality within the couple, right? So there's an outer and there's an inner type of marriage. The outer marriage, the function of the marriage is to procreate and thereby perpetuate the species. The inner marriage is to focus on establishing an existential union between, a spiritual union between the couple. So we've seen the duality on the individual level. Now we just saw it on the level of the couple. I want to just look at extended a bit more generally by looking at number six. Number six is a famous article by Rosa Lebecha called Confrontation. And he extends this duality to the community. So if you look at number six, he says, we Jews have been burdened with a twofold task. We have to cope with the problem of a double confrontation. We think of ourselves as human beings, sharing the destiny of Adam in his general encounter with nature, and as members of a covenantal community which has preserved its identity under most unfavorable conditions, confronted by another faith community. In this difficult role, we are summoned by God, who revealed himself at both the level of universal creation and that of the private covenant, to undertake a double mission, the universal human and exclusive covenantal confrontation. The Jewish religious teaching tradition expresses itself in the fusion of universalism and singularism. On the one hand, Jews are vitally concerned with the problems affecting the common destiny of man. We consider ourselves members of the universal community, charged with the responsibility of promoting progress in all fields, economic, social, scientific, and ethical. We make known that we are committed to the general welfare and progress of mankind, that we are interested in combating disease, in alleviating human suffering, in protecting man's rights, in helping the needy, etc. On the other hand, we are a distinctive faith community with a unique commitment, singular relationship to God, and a specific way of life. In the areas of universal concern, we welcome an exchange of ideas and impressions. Communication among the various communities will greatly contribute towards mutual understanding and will enhance and deepen our knowledge of those universal aspects of man which are relevant to all of us. In the area of faith, religious law, doctrine, and ritual, Jews have throughout the ages been a community guided exclusively by distinctive concerns, ideals, and commitments. So what he's saying here, when he generalizes, he uses the same duality of Adam 1 and Adam 2, but extends it to the community at large. So he's saying that with regard to the physical world, with regard to social concerns, not only can we, but we should participate in the larger community. We should collaborate with other religions for the progress and for the welfare of mankind. He says, however, when it comes to religiosity, we need to remain and maintain our distinction as a covenantal faith community. So we see that same dichotomy of Adam 1 and Adam 2 within the individual and extended within the Jewish community as it relates to the larger community outside of it. So Mizmor Chet, I think, is an attempt to show once man is able to choose Tikkut and once man is able to arrive at a recognition of Hashem and a submission to Hashem while still participating and contributing to the outside world, one needs to maintain this recognition that all of man's efforts and all of man's success in this world are attributed to an extent to God is giving him the ability to do so. And therefore, man shouldn't get preoccupied, as Rav Soloveitchik said, with his Adam 1 side and neglect his Adam 2 side, because ultimately both of them are sanctioned and mandated by God, and therefore to neglect one in order to pursue the other would not enable man to achieve or to maintain the ideal duality that God had created him with. So that concludes our understanding of Mizmor Chet. I just want to do a quick conclusion of the whole, all of the Mizmorim that we've looked at together. So we saw that David, Baruch HaKodesh, expresses his human feelings in his struggle to come closer to Hashem and as king to bring his nation closer to Hashem. So first we looked at Mizmor Kaf Zayin, where we saw David, in very human terms, expresses his struggles with faith. Yet he teaches the masses, despite the fact that he sometimes feels abandoned or distant from God, he teaches the masses that doubting or feeling distant from God is natural. But there are other ways, as we saw from some of the philosophy, to arrive and to maintain faith in God. And therefore, Kaveh El Hashem, how he concludes the Mizmor, Chazak v'emet libecha v'kaveh El Hashem, you need to hope to Hashem, and even if we can't necessarily find rational proof for God's existence, we have to through emotional or through intuitive or through spiritual means, we have to maintain our faith in God. Even when Hashem does not seem to be answering our tefillot, we have to go back and hope to Hashem once again. After we saw David struggle with faith, we looked at Mizmor Nun Aleph, and that was in the aftermath of his chet with Batsheva. And even when man distances himself from God as a result of his chet, he has the opportunity, if he wills it, to restore his relationship with God. And through tshuva, he even has the potential of arriving at a higher level than he had before he sinned. And we see David again serving as a model through his very human experience, speaking in very general terms, asking Hashem to forgive him, enabling him to alamda poshim chateim, enabling him to model this tshuva so that other sinners, regardless of their sins, will be able to learn from his tshuva process, and they'll be able to engage in catharsis, and they'll be able to offer up to Hashem a ruach nishvara so that they'll be able to restore their relationship with Hashem once again. So after we saw David's struggle with faith and his struggles with tshuva, we saw in Perek Aleph, in the introductory Mizmor, in the Mizmor Chochmah, we saw that man ultimately has free will, and man ultimately has a choice with what he wants to be in this world. David explains to man, just like he explained that man has the ability, the free will to do tshuva, man has the ability to choose his way in life. And man has the ability to choose to do good or do bad. Man has the ability to become a tzaddik or to become a rasha. And he explains to man that he first has to distance himself from all of the negative influences, even the subtle influences, right? The chata'im, the rasha'im, and even the leitzim. And one needs to first distance yourself from any forms of distraction in order for him to then devote himself completely, wholeheartedly to the Torah, right? Uvatorato yogei yomam v'layla. And only then, if he is focused on God, will he be able to merit hashkacha, will he be able to merit Hashem's providence, despite the fact that we're not going to be able to always understand God's ways. And as a result, we concluded with Mizmor Chetz, once you have chosen the path of a tzaddik, once you have chosen to be this Eitz Chatul, this deeply rooted tree, once you have chosen to kind of establish strong foundations and contribute to the world at large, then you have to make sure that you are able to perpetuate that status. And you need to perpetuate that status without getting carried away with only one aspect of yourself, but you need to achieve and to maintain the appropriate balance of the majesty and the humility, the Adam 1 and the Adam 2, the ability to be submissive and devout in our awe of God, but at the same time be bold and creative and in conquering the world. So David assumes his role as king, not only in the political realm, but more importantly in the spiritual realm. And he, as king, has the ability to model his relationship, model his transformation, model his lessons that he has learned for the rest of the nation, so that he is able to teach the masses how to achieve these universal values in enabling them to approach God and enabling them to maintain their close relationship with God. Okay, so those are the four mizmorim that I chose to do because I think each of them have very profound and very general and relevant philosophical ideas, and hopefully we'll be able to internalize the lessons that David has expressed in Tehillim that he has modeled for his generation. Hopefully we'll be able to interpret from his very general terms, even in our more modern context of our own lives. Okay? Thank you so much, guys.
I don't think it makes a difference. Meaning everyone's going to Ayyu Said.
You're going to
Ayyu Said?
I'm going to.
Oh, right. No, but. Oh, you're going. Okay, fine.
I'm going to the Barrio Said if I'm in this.
Who are you taking? Oh, Mary.
But Mary said she'd be back. I don't remember.
Would it be on the email?
Yeah, no, she's not actually phone.
Mary?
Yeah, I've had this problem also.
I have Sharon's number.
Okay,
so let's figure that out. Right. Does that make sense? My lenses are really not so happy right now. My lenses are not so happy right now. No, but I have glasses.
Do you like my lens case back?
No, I actually have a lens case. I just can't find it. If you get into the car and I can't, I can do my other bag.
So now my other question for you is, when are you, would you like to leave our state?
Mousing. Like,
there's a million cards by
tomorrow. No, the question is, do we...
You feel like you have to stay.
Do we feel like we have to stay till 5?
I did not remember that you weren't going. I got it as I was, like, walking.
That is my question.
That's actually what I was asking, because I figured that would be your question.
I just kind of feel like that's right, but I don't know what we're going to do that's going to be so productive.
I can finish my share. What do you mean?
Oh, so you could finish your share, if you don't mind.
Do you want to upload?
Or do you want to at least say, we'll say 10,
yeah.
10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, yeah, if you want to stay, I'm more than happy to stay. Meaning if you have like...
Yeah,
I really will feel guilty if she leaves.
Right, no.
No, honestly, if I want to... I would love to stay at least a few more minutes.
That was great.
To get at least a semblance of a social then.
That was great, Hava. I am most impressed.
All that and what you
even if you think you are.
Sure. Oh, do you want to ride to Heights? Yeah, I would stay till 5. I would stay till 5 if you want to ride. If none of my other people would feel bad about that. But if you want to go with Steffi, now you can. If Devorah can come with me. I mean, you're welcome to come with me also. We could drive Steffi crazy. That would also be a fun activity. Decide. Okay, fine. My number is 516. 1 second, I have your number. Let me just call you. And make sure that I have the right number for you also.
Should I plug this in?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's not you. No, no. Oh, no.
No, can you call me though, like, if meaning, if you think you'll be ready?
You have a peach?
Yeah. Great. You even have matching phones.
Yeah, that is.
Although, it's less annoying now.
Unless Leia has a flat again.
But this is actually time, and that wasn't just
doing. Right, that's true also.
Okay, let's see if Alana can get it returned.
I have that. Good.
I was not rushing in the least bit.
I think that's enough sources for us to deal with today. Hebrew sources. No. Skill sources. Yeah. No.
Oh, Chava's thing is a weird thing, I think.
It's
a contagious thing, I hate it.
Does anyone want carrots? Because I have an abundance of
carrots. Becky, are you driving tomorrow? You're driving tomorrow?
Can I get a ride?
I'm gonna.
Thank you.
If I have a car, would you want a ride? Okay, but I probably won't. But yeah, no, definitely. I'll talk to you there when I get home.
Oh, do you have them here? They're in my car.
Yeah, I think so, because Devorah might want to ride, so I think it makes
but
sense.
I'm,
that's
I'm,
okay with you?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. It's fine, but anyway, like, I have
okay.
I have stuff to do, Mary and my stuff to do, so if you don't mind waiting.
Great,
absolutely.
So, like, you're not going to feel bad if I say
no?
No,
okay. Totally fine. Just, like, let me know sooner rather than later,
yeah.
But
okay.
Totally don't worry about it. What?
Thank you so much.
What am I doing?
I can do it. It's just...
What?
Are you uploading the...
I'm wanting to make sure it's the right one. I assume it's the last one?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's it.
Okay,
we have it.
And I'm not
going to. I think her view doesn't
come as a normal. Yeah, I got it.
By the way, they've been recording
see.
Very well.
Thanks. You've been listening?
Yeah.
Great. I really have to organize.
Oh, that's
okay. This one is not. I apologize.
Which one?
Oh. For the first one.
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
because we didn't have the regular recorder.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my recorder up there, but
it's not
really designed for that, so it has a nice little thing.
I
just
bring the computer up to my speaker at home, so then I hear everything.
Who's being that smart? Good question. Does anyone know who the guest speaker is for tomorrow?
It's Chabura, I think.
It's Chabura tomorrow? Oh, interesting.
I think there's a Chabura tomorrow, which is a guest speaker because they were random today, but I'm not sure.
No, I walk up there. It's so nice.
Interesting.
Interesting.
What day is tomorrow? I don't think it's mine. I guess I should check that out, shouldn't I?
Okay. Toda Hala, I am. Who's?
No one. Let's check that out.
Okay, how do I take this out, Chava? Because it's not.
You can just fill it out.
Interesting.
I might have signed up. Deborah might have.
Oh no! Now it went away.
What went away?
I thought I copied it, and then it didn't work.
Oh.
It wasn't finished. And I thought it was.
Do you upload them as waves or?
No, you can't upload them as waves.
I don't really know the difference.
Neither do I. I think MP3 is standard, but I'm not sure.
MP3, I think, are smaller files.
That also makes sense.
So, like, you're driving back?
I'm driving back.
When's the
30th? So
it's Wednesday,
Bethany.
Right? Today's the
28th.
So I'm giving
Manny
my
day.
Okay.
I don't care. I was going to take Miriam.
Are you
going
to change Miriam to the light side?
Yeah.
I'd love to come with you. I like to go to the light side.
But doesn't everyone's going to the light side, so it doesn't make a difference.
Well, Becky already stepped out, so she might not be here anymore.
Right, that's also
so
true.
But
what's
with Mary though?
Yeah, Becky's looking for Mary. I'm not sure also when everyone's leaving, and Devorah also might need a ride to the Heights. So that's what we're kind of on hold here.
Well,
but Becky might be leaving, like, I don't know. I think Mary and Bayou came with me in the morning, so I think they kind of just assumed that they're coming back with me, but like.
What?
So that you guys came to me in the morning, so I think you would just assume that you're coming back with me.
No, I didn't.
What?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. I just feel like you come with me in the morning, but you really didn't.
I know, but I just assume that I go with you unless there's another situation.
Which
is about every day. But hey, no one's asking questions.
Hey.
Is it really much better if you have labels in the sections?
What?
Can't think ahead.
Yes, you should only label your sections and put your sources in boxes.
Let me see if I can find like your shipment
yet. Why am I putting my sources in boxes? But I don't have good categories. That's the problem. It doesn't work like that.
Pro, con.
Yeah, but how about half pro and half con? And in between?
One source or?
Everyone, like, they're all different.
Russian, might be Yago.
When?
I don't know if you're laughing because you just got the same message, but then Aura is looking for, organizing for the Russian Radio, is looking for a Russian speaker because there's a recalcitrant husband who may claim that he only speaks Russian, which isn't really true, but
he may what?
He might claim he only speaks Russian.
So someone in this area?
So they're looking for someone who can be in Midtown Wednesday afternoon to translate.
I thought it was like I thought you found something for your thesis. I was like, you're crazy.
No.
Okay. That's actually really funny.
I was like, at least that's a good reason. It's okay.
I know a few Russian speakers, but I'm not planning to hear right now. Why doesn't he just contact the Russian organization? They have one of them in every city. Usually they're connected with like the Judas Agency or UJF.
They may not be so cooperative with Bank of America.
With what?
The Bank of America. Like, I don't know. I mean, it was just someone trying to network.
All my kids from camp have Facebook.
They're
like, oh, Facebook.
So you should have Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your point?
Yeah, no, I was just like, I think of them as so little, but they're really not.
So, camper?
Yeah.
How little are they?
They're like from
14
to 17,
I mean,
but like
I
they seem like they're all like a couple of years behind.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I thought though that Facebook is on college. It's not anymore.
It's not anymore. It's moved down.
Really? That's really bad.
Chava, so could I sleep over tomorrow night?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'll confirm with you later. But.
Check in
confirmation.
Don't do it.
Do you have a cancellation fee?
Yes.
I'm not going to have a car regardless.
Get a car.
Oh, you get me. You get a car. And then you also won't have a problem.
You know.
I don't know if
it'll
be
tomorrow. Why would you?
My body's not coming?
No, I mean, kid.
Oh, I know.
Oh.
That means I can sit here from 5 to 7 and work.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
I mean, from 3 to 7.
Wow, that is a very good idea. I mean, for your sake, I guess. I'll have to prepare something again. Or not prepare something again. I think I prepare less and less every week. I'm so bad.
I don't prepare it, actually.
I went to Stanford on Sundays, I didn't really prepare.
Why is Torah so non-intuitive to use?
You have to fix that car around it.
They need to hire you to spend 2 days cleaning it up?
No. First of all, cleaning up is a separate issue. But just in terms of, there's no, like, you have to go to a advanced search to find anything that isn't written by Rosh Yeshiva or isn't, like,
that's
a Parsha
true.
Class. You know what I mean?
That's, meaning they haven't, as they've expanded their use of it, they haven't changed the design of it.
Correct. Like, there should be, like, a click, like, CJF program. Like, you don't have to, shouldn't have to go into...
I don't know who...
No, I know who it is. I have to... I mean, I've been emailing him, so
Rav
I just have to...
Rav Torah?
Rav, sure, yeah. I think so.
Oh. Wait, I was thinking someone else. Does that make sense? Okay. You know if you confuse
people's
names
with CJF
Torah?
I mean...
No? Yeah.
Kind of. The truth is, now I have a login. I can just play with that shit and organize it however I want.
Actually?
I could like change anything when I do it. I mean, not anything,
if
but like.
You could, but.
The problem is, it says at the it'll say on the bottom like submitted by user, so like. Leia because of Mako?
That too. No, I meant for Toronto, but.
Oh, yeah.
I think
no, I'm really excited about it. There's always
the security guard like wants to leave at 5. That's
oh.
The impression I'm getting.
Okay.
Is that okay for everybody here?
Yeah.
Great. So let's. Yeah, and then if. I think we're the only ones left in the building at this point, so I'm going to leave
just
now.
I saw.
Yeah, Rhea.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
just left.
Okay.
So if you could just, I think, just like indicate to him. Like when you leave, if you're the last one, like, okay, we're all gone. Something like that.
Okay.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night. See you
tomorrow. What are you saying? That's what I should do. The problem is, I feel bad. I give her, like, all these interesting questions when, like, we discuss things, but, like, we never have, like, I don't have, like, answers. Like, Ari Miklat's, like, full of questions. It's
what?
Just, has all these, like, weird things, and you just have, like, questions about, like, what is it? Is it a punishment? Is it a kapara? Is it a...
Right.
Why the Kohen Gadol? Why...
Yeah. So you have to either leave no questions or you have to be overly simplistic and present one side of things
right.
You know that there are more.
Right.
And like, if she brings up another one, then...
Right.
Isn't going to happen?
No, usually she does. Like, if I press her to, like, say something, it's usually not, like, anything that I've heard before, but it's not always, like, totally off the wall.
Right. Say
Rafina.
That's true. One time there's an office that said I want to do a project that I'm in plot, like, really research it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized there's a whole character of Kamara, so never
mind. Right. There's also... There's a whole... Rabbi Carmi in the Kala had a whole thing on it.
What?
Rabbi Carmi, who teaches in the Israeli part of the Kala, whose class I took, had a whole thing on it. Like, based on Pinchas. Sorry. I guess we have 5 minutes, so I shouldn't feel bad about distracting you. Based on Pinchas, how, like, he, as much as what he did was, like, good and necessary, etc., like, it introduced vigilantism into the Jewish people. And, like...
That is really interesting.
And, like, murder after that is, like, always traced back to him.
It's always, like, getting back.
Yeah, it's, like... And like, you know, the society that has, you know, murder, even accidental murder, there's something wrong with it.
Right.
And when there's something wrong with society, you blame it on the news, etc.
Oh,
but
that
Kohen
Gadol is connected. I'm sure that's not a new thing. I just...
What?
Can't remember it explicitly. The Kohen Gadol and Ari Miklat is connected to this kingdom in Ebel
Oh, that's really interesting. That's actually, look at my paper from Rabbi Cohen's Ram Ravan class was Ari Miklat and Ebel Rufa together.
Have the other chorus the whole?
Atodeinu Yimchol.
I should buy my Chumash teacher's food processor, right? She's in Helia.
A food
processor.
What
type
of food processor?
What do you mean with a food processor?
I don't even own a food processor. Then again, I don't make potato cocoa.
I don't make
potato cocoa.
Sorry,
I'm hungry.
But
gazpacho,
another
amazing
food processor.
Because I make those all the day.
Strawberry soup, you just cook it at full.
No, I have
you have
I have a zhuzha.
Immersion blender.
Exactly.
But really, you're
otherwise
the one
known
like,
as a zhuzha. Oh, God.
It is a
shiva.
No, but, like, we have a food register. We use it, like, every so often. But to wash the food, like, you never want to schlep it out, to wash it, put it back.
Why do you have a blender?
You don't use a blender so much.
The only reason I own a blender is because it's
$8. I'm obsessed with milkshakes and smoothies, so I need a blender.
And I got it.
I think that the custodian's actually here till 6, so stay as long as you please.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Okay. It is Abchavad yours. Thank you.
So I apologize for poor sound quality.
For what?
Poor sound quality.
Oh, quite all right. One Weekend is not the latest edition anymore.
I know. I got so excited when I saw the beginning. I was like, oh, new blog from Jean.
I sent her. She was actually
always
like,
my call.
Jewish Action is like offering attention. Olim, Jewish Action is teaching inspirational anecdotes about life in Israel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that did not happen.
That's what Jamie does.
Right, I was going to say. And now I have two in my Shmuel WhatsApp. Where is Batya? I hope she didn't disappear.
Did you have her phone number?
What is wrong? So meaning if you think you'll use it, then use it, but I don't know like how much. Okay. So then
that's not it. Like someone else for $20.
Okay. Whatever makes you happy.
Like, I'm a little bit wary of buying used kitchen stuff, even from Teenage Jewels, but I know her, and, like,
right.
She's been a teacher for 3 years. I trust her passions.
That's good. It's important.
Laura was
going to
call you at
5,
right?
Like, yeah, that's what she said. I'd rather not, like, around so long, but I also, like, feel bad that she should have to take a bus in the
future. That's what she's going to do. That's so long.
Says Miriam, who does everything to make sure every kid doesn't have to take a bus.
And I think I'm the one that has taken the bus most out of everyone in this entire program, so okay.
You?
Maybe Sharon, because she goes home at weird times also.
It's currently not raining.
What? A walk?
Why do you actually exercise? No way.
No. That's just, do I...
Do you want a ride?
Do I take a ride with you and then sit there for an hour?
Or take a
ride. Or
walk.
Do I dive in now and then... And then leave, walk, and sit there learning. Because if they can take me earlier. Basically, I went last week and they put on a temporary crown and it wasn't ever on really. So I have to put it back on.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
it'll actually take me 3 minutes. But
really?
I don't want to do it in the middle of the day, so.
Okay, so that means you're not coming.
In case you leave, farewell.
We will
man's in
LT.
No, I'm going to talk to you later, because I have to tell you if I'm sleeping over. So don't LT me yet, okay?
Okay, you can try calling. I'm not going to be sober.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, I'm going to leave you a message and notify you of my plans and whereabouts.
But no one's near my room right now.
I don't care about the state of your room.
I
hey,
know,
Dora.
I care. It's getting really bad.
And I keep having people over, like, it should keep.
Okay. My pleasure. We were waiting around anyway, so really don't worry about it.
Okay. You too. Bye.
No. She's not coming. Okay. Are you, like, in the middle of something?
No, I'm good. Okay. In the middle of it is that I need a number of hours, and I don't want to do it because I have to pack. I don't know when I'm going to do it.
When are you moving?
Hopefully Wednesday of next week. Stephanie says, why are you still here? Leaving now.
Maybe Wednesday night I'll come. I can help.
Wednesday I think we might be going out though.
What?
Wednesday we might be going out.
Oh, okay. Well then I won't come.
That might be our day off of packing this week.
Well then.
But I appreciate the offer.
No problem. Oh, so then.
Getting home.
What?
I'll drop your off. We may not be leaving.
No, it's, you don't have to like stay home.
Oh, no. I'll find out when we are actually leaving.
Yeah. Whatever. I could always.
So we may leave sooner. Rafa has to be home on Thursday.
Got it.
Wait for the cable guys to get our cable, which is really sad.
Aww.
And our internet. Which is going to be really painful, actually. Yeah. When you're packing and you don't have your internet either, and you don't have your.
Oh, that is so upsetting.